This episode of the Commerce Marketer Podcast is brought to you by the Bronto Marketing Platform, a flexible yet powerful software that helps you grow revenue, save time, and optimize marketing resources. If you're interested in making sophisticated email marketing easy, visit bronto.com. That's B-R-O-N-T-O.com. User-generated content, or UGC, is common in the retail and social space, but employee-generated content, known as EGC, and employee-created content, known as ECC, are on the rise as companies are recognizing the power employees have on driving sales. Even so, many companies still stifle their employees, presumably for fear they'll do more harm than good. So it intrigued me that one of the companies recognizing the power of their employees is a leading worldwide retailer, Walmart. Welcome inside the Commerce Marketer Podcast Studio. I'm your host, Greg Zachwitz, and today, we're going to speak to Zach about his experience leading that transformation into using social media to drive local store sales, making store associates the face of the brand, how we did it, what you should look for if you're interested in exploring this avenue, and much more. To join me today, I welcome to the show Zach Lonis, the Director of Social Media Marketing at Walmart. Welcome to the show, Zach. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited about it.
Very good. So, Zach, before we get into it, titles, no one really knows what any title does. So why don't you give the audience a real quick background about a little bit about what you do at Walmart? What's your role?
Yeah, I am a director on the marketing floor over social media, primarily over local social media. And the way it works is every Walmart store has its own Facebook page. A couple hundred of them have their own Instagram page. Essentially, my team works on strategy around how do we get stores to adopt using local social media to talk to customers in authentic ways that actually impact that local community, as well as inspiring our associates to create content, be real, have some fun, and really just kind of challenge the way marketing works by making our employees, our associates, the face of Walmart.
And how long have you been in that role for?
I've been here for about 18 months. I came from the stores. I was a store manager in Ohio. So it was, I've been with Walmart for 11 years, but a year and a half doing this.
So that always begs the question. This is to me the where a really interesting part of this whole story comes up is you're a store manager. How do you make that transition?
I was told by one of my mentors when I was in the stores, do a job that you want to do and become so good at it that people can't help but notice the work you're doing around that job. That's what I did. While I was in the stores, I got really active on my store's Facebook page, and we were using it to show ways that it would connect our store in a digital, mobile-first way with our community, how it was driving traffic, increasing sales on items. And then second to that, I was really active on LinkedIn. I was sharing advice and tips of things that worked for my store, worked for me, putting them out there for other people to learn from and trying to be almost like a digital mentor or a social media mentor before I ever got in this role. That got recognized by some people at the Walmart home office, had a conversation actually with my CMO at the time, Tony Rogers, and just really saw that it made sense for me to keep doing the social media, leaning in more, because I just had a little bit of a different take on it. So I just started doing the work, hoping someone would recognize, and they did, and now here I am.
So when you said they took notice, was it increase in foot traffic, increase in store sales, or were they actually seeing this as they were monitoring or scanning their social feeds? What made them take notice of it?
Actually, it's really interesting. The conversation around what I was doing with sales and traffic in the store came up after it initially started. Somebody saw a video I put up of my store's inventory flow process, the way that we were driving backroom efficiencies to make sure more products were on the floor than in the back room. And that video, the video we created and the advice that we were giving on how we created that culture started to get shared around. It went viral on LinkedIn, and one of the Walmart executives saw that video, Greg Ferran, and he actually sent our store a handwritten letter just thanking the entire store for the efficiency and talking about how cool the video was and that he had actually started to see a cultural movement around inventory flow process. And he followed the path back to that video and saw the culture change. That led to the conversation about sales and foot traffic and all that. So it was pretty interesting.
That's cool. And then you fast forward how long before, was it something that you eventually approached? You are obviously talking to the C-level with your mentor and things like that, but fast forward X amount of time, Was it something for this particular role? Was it something that you reached out to them and said, hey, you know what, I could probably do this? Or did they reach out to you and say, hey, I want to talk to you about something. How did that transition begin for you?
It was kind of a mix. We have these things at Walmart. They're called Year Beginning Meetings. And it's where the store managers from the store, all of them, come out to a centralized location. We learn from our executives and our leadership about initiatives that are going to happen that year, get some training. It gives us opportunity to connect with different people. And one of the great things that Walmart does is they open up this Q&A session where anybody from the stores can ask any executive any question. And I use that as an opportunity to ask questions around social media. I specifically asked, hey, we're on Facebook with our stores today, but so much of our population is moving towards Instagram. What are we thinking about expanding to Instagram and upcoming and emerging social media channels? That question kind of pointed the spotlight, you know, literally pointed the spotlight because they put one on me when I asked the question. But then it got the question of who is this guy asking? And then it tied back to, oh, this is the guy doing those videos on LinkedIn. And that caused this conversation with my CMO where I just directly said to him, hey, man, I believe we could do so much more with social media. He asked me, do you think you could scale what you've done in your store? I said, I'm not sure, but I'd love to try. And now here I am.
That's cool. They always say you make your own luck, but that's really cool that you just kind of made your own path there and then eventually just said, well, I don't know, but let's try. I'm always a fan of just tell them you can do it until you find that you can't do it. So that works for me. So you made this moment where the spotlight is on social, but this conversation around social has come up. And now it's this conversation internally in the executive office, which I'm sure they were having beforehand, but trying to figure out what the heck to do with it in a meaningful manner. With that being said, what is their genesis from your understanding of saying, okay, we're going to try to scale this now. Let's move this guy to our headquarters. Let's have him take the reins. What do we have him do then? So did you put together a plan for, hey, these are the social channels we should be targeting? Or what was the initial process of that plan looking like?
Yeah, when I came out, there was a lot of conversation with some of my leadership. It was around, what do you see as the path? Specifically, how do you launch more stores or scale out the idea of getting an Instagram presence at the local level? That was the first task. And basically, I got together, got to know my team. We came up with a strategy, the technology that it was going to take, and basically a rollout plan. We started testing that. We started really small, honestly, just with 15 stores on Instagram, gained some learnings, expanded from there to 125, got more learnings. And then now we are at like 620 something stores on Instagram. So it's been a test, learn, iterate, expand all at the same time. But yeah, we were tasked with, when I came in, I was asked, how are you going to scale Instagram specifically and how to come up with a strategy, pitch all that, and test it out.
And then you mentioned Facebook before, and you mentioned during the question you asked during the summit or the meeting about Instagram. Are those the two primary channels that you are focused on?
Yeah, so we've looked at any channel that's out there and how it makes sense. Of course, it makes sense for brands to, like a brand name like Walmart should be on all platforms, and in my opinion, and there is a presence. What then we had to ask, what makes sense for a local store to have a presence that would kind of be secondary or support that brand? So does it make sense to have a local page on every platform everywhere? The ones that we mostly work with, Facebook, that every store has a page on Facebook and it's our primary social channel. We have, like I said, over 600 on Instagram. It's our secondary channel. We have also been working on TikTok, for example. TikTok, some Snapchat, some Twitter. We tried different things, but those are the three, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram that we're really leaning into.
So you've made this pretty good transition. You've got this program, which is kind of off the ground by this point. You've got buy-in from the executive team, and now you're moving forward with it. Did you personally face any resistance from management? Probably not resistance is a poor word, but concerns from management with the idea of giving employees so much power. I say power, but employees becoming the face of the brand, right? Because a million things can go right, and there are some things that can go wrong with that too. So were there any concerns that you guys had to hash out beforehand, or was it pretty straightforward and be like, hey, we trust you, you obviously demonstrate the core values of the brand. We trust you to hear those. Was there one way or the other how that worked out?
Yeah, there were, of course, a lot of questions, and there should be any time that you're essentially crowdsourcing your brand reputation, you know, to different people. And for us, it's for associates. So we talked a lot around what does a best practice look like? How do we provide training? How do we show somebody? We kind of have this philosophy, and it's called what good looks like. How do you help associates to know what good looks like when it comes to social media? As you trust them with it. So we did have those conversations, and a lot of it has just been understanding that in the modern era, the way that communication works, it's very fast, it's authentic, that you just have to do some trusting. The greatest thing about the whole conversation I've had is that Sam Walton, that's really where this idea originated. If you look through Sam Walton's book, Made in America, he talks about his managers back when he first started the company. They would do marketing. They would build these giant features in the store. He would tell them to get out there in front of the newspaper, take pictures, create these big events, and create as much buzz as he could. And he literally has a line. He says, being a Walmart manager is a great place to promote items. And I hope it always stays that way because it's a key part of our heritage. So all I had to do was go and talk to leadership and say, this is just the modern way of bringing Sam Walton's initial vision to life. He empowered his people through the newspaper and through local promotions back then. Today, the local newspaper has just transitioned into social media. So let's keep doing what Sam Walton started in the beginning by trusting our people just on the new modern platform. So it worked out because it's so rooted in the Walmart culture to trust our people.
It's such a simplistic comparison, but it's so accurate. I really love the example. I love the comparison you made there from modern times to back then. So that's really cool. Let's briefly explain how this whole program is structured. So we're talking about store managers posting, employees posting. So can you spend just a couple of minutes to walk through what the structure is like? So the content, is content being suggested or provided to the stores to post on their Facebook page? How much leeway do they have? Who has access to post these things? Can you do a quick umbrella of that?
Yeah, no problem. We partner primarily with, we partner exclusively with salary managers in the store. You have to be salary to have access to post on social media. We actually have a proprietary app that we had built for us by a company called Brand Networks. They created this app. It allows stores to go in. They can see everything from trending topics or trending items that we recommend the store talk about. It'll be something like, hey, today X item is trending or it's really popular. Make a post or a photo or video around this item, sharing the price or the great reasons that it's a good item. So stores have a lot of freedom around that. They could choose to post about that item, or they have the freedom to create whatever post they want on whatever topic they want. They load it into this thing and it automatically goes up to Facebook. We do have a moderation team that looks on the backside to make sure, you know, is everything kosher? Is this, you know, is there spelling mistakes or just anything like that to help out and support the stores? But overall, there's a lot of freedom. We do even provide templates. We call them templates where it's, you know, might be all the words, the caption for the post, but you have to fill in the picture or the video. Or it might be we provide a picture, you fill in the caption. So we have all those mixes to make it as easy for a store as possible to create the content. But honestly, most of our stores are just creating their own content around the items that are really important to their local community. And that's why this thing's so powerful because, you know, think about today where I'm at in Arkansas, it's 20 degrees. So I might be thinking about a coat or about ice melt, but down in Florida, they're not thinking about ice melt or coats, or in Texas, or, you know, different places. So it's that really locally relevant posting that we give them the freedom to create.
And then when they're looking at this, so say I'm a store manager for XYZ store, I don't know, here in Durham, North Carolina, are there key metrics that you and the store managers look at after they post to figure out if it's worthwhile, or is it just constantly keeping up with the feed? Just to make sure, hey, we want to make sure we're posting consistently. Here's some good stuff to post. And then we just kind of let it run organically on its own. So are you looking at metrics? And if so, do you have defined metrics going into when you're providing content out to the stores?
Yeah, we look at a couple of different things. So of course, the traditional social media metrics. We look at reach, impressions, organic impressions. We look at sentiment. We look at, of course, engagement rate, all of those types of things to gauge what makes a good post. And a store has access to all of that as well. So they could see how many posts they've created. They can see how many people they've reached. They can see their impressions. They can see their engagement rate. And they can even see themselves compared to all the stores in their market, as well as all the stores in their region, and even see how they compare to every store in the company on a national level to know if they're doing good or not doing good. So we look at those as a primary high-level thing. At the store level, there are some stores that can, and we do this on certain products where we can break it down and see what types of sales lift do we see based on posts around this specific item. And that's more when we go into a bigger campaign and we can see, like, actually by category or by item, what types of sales lift or reaction that there is. So even other things that stores look at, sometimes they'll do posts around recruiting or hiring, and they'll gauge how many applications got submitted before a social media post versus after a social media post. They'll look at things like customer surveys and see, do we have an uptick in the amount of customer surveys that get submitted before a post versus after a post? So they have other things that are important to them, but at that highest level, we're still looking at the traditional reach, engagement, impressions, views, those types of things.
Excellent. And are stores required to post to their local Facebook pages, or is it completely voluntary?
I think that's one of the greatest things about the program is it is completely voluntary. It is not a, you have to go do this. You have to find a way to make it happen. It's not a check the box task type of thing. And I think because it's that way, that's why we see the results we do. It allows stores to see social media in a more creative way. They have a lot of fun with the social media. It's not one more thing on their plate that they have to get done, which also allows them to focus on, you know, maybe something else is more important today than posting to Facebook. The coolest part of it is that although it's a voluntary type of thing, we are regularly seeing around 70% of stores getting active on social media every single week. About 95% of stores participate every single month. So it's definitely something stores are aware of and excited about.
Is there something you can look at that you could say, yep, I bet they post more, they're more active on social than other stores? Or do you have to, is that just more of a specific market, right? Our same store sales are up, you know, 5% year over year, whatever it might be. Do you ever look at anything and say, yep, I know they're active on social?
It's hard to do necessarily at that high level, just because specifically we take in or create 13,400 posts just on Facebook every single week. Wow. And it could be on a variety of different types of items. You could, like, when, so for example, I've been to a lot of stores. I've been to, I believe, 26 states this year, and I can walk in, and the biggest way that I can tell if a store is active on social media is it's not necessarily through what they're telling me on sales or the way the store looks. It's actually in the way the team talks with each other. When I walk in, just as an example, I went to Boaz, Alabama this year. And when I walked in, the store, extremely friendly people. They had a lot of fun. Everybody was talking with one another. The collaboration and the teamwork was just one of the highest levels of any store that I've seen. And it was honestly no surprise to me to find out that they were also our number one store in the country on social media, out of Boaz, Alabama. So you see that a lot. You see teamwork and creativity and morale at a higher level with the stores who are really engaged than the ones that aren't using social media regularly. So that's the biggest telltale sign.
That's really cool that you're able to see that just in person. And I'm sure it's, when you're looking at that, I'm sure it's anecdotal. And you could probably look at that and be like, hey, you know what? I noticed this. You're able to put those points together, which I think is really cool from your side. That's going to make you feel super proud when you walk in there and see that.
Yeah, it's great. You know, we, again, in Boaz, Alabama, we could walk through that store and customers knew the associates by first name, even from, like, literally across the hallway. They would be able to shout and know who they were. And we would talk to these customers and they'd say, yeah, I recognize them from their Facebook post. I recognize them from that video that they did. So it was building this connection in the community. And then the same thing in the stores when you're going around and having a little fun. Because, you know, when you make a social media post or do a video or a picture, you're kind of letting your guard down a little bit. You're having some fun with it. And it exposes you to your coworkers and your community in a very human way. So it didn't come as a super big surprise to me that these teams work more efficiently, that they have more fun. And of course, when we talked to that store in Boaz, Alabama, they were also performing great on all of their sales metrics and every metric that we measure across the board. So happy people work more efficiently. They're excited to be at work. So it's really just a big win across the board to be active on social.
You have about 70% of stores, I think you said, are posting actively a month. And then is that correct? Did I remember that right?
95% will post at least once a month.
70 about once a week, correct?
70 once a week, yeah.
Okay, perfect. So you've got 70% of your stores posting once a week. You're talking about, you know, people recognizing their store employees based on videos and things like this. So they're obviously taking some creative liberties with these in a good manner, right? They're putting some personality and original thought behind these. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this online grocery pickup, this OGP wrap that you guys did. I want you to explain to the audience what this is and really what the genesis of it was, because this is something that kind of fits right into that theme of, hey, we've got videos, we're trying to use unique content, we're letting people be creative, they're letting their guard down, which this absolutely is, people letting their guards down, having fun from it. So can you briefly explain what it was, what it consisted of, and results from it, if there are any you're willing and comfortable enough to share?
Yeah, the OGP wrap was this idea of what would happen if we put a call to action out to our associates to see who had some really good hip hop talent, some rap talent, to create a song that talked about a great service at Walmart. The way that it all started was we actually found this post on one of the local stores out of Live Oak, Florida. And the store, Trent and Terry there, had actually created a online grocery rap video on their own and uploaded it to their store's page. It was actually about Halloween and how you could get all this great candy and use the online grocery to order so that, you know, you could get your candy quick. And it was just a really cool video. And as we looked at it, it was getting good views and customers seemed to really enjoy it. So Russell Bloodworth, who's on my team, and I, we talked about how could we scale this? Is there more to this? Is this a single post? Or is this something that we could actually turn into a bigger deal? So that's what we did. We created this call to action where we challenged. We called it Walmart Rap Challenge. We put it out to the stores and said, if you are great at rapping or can write songs or produce beats or any of that stuff, we would love to hear you perform a rap song about online grocery pickup, post it to your local store's page, and the top 10 people we are going to do something special with. So that's what happened. And these posts individually at the local level started to blow up, and it was really cool, got a lot of traction. We brought 10 of the best rappers out. They went to a recording studio, a legit recording studio. They each performed a single verse and created this online grocery rap. We recorded a video in one of the stores here in Arkansas, put it out there, and honestly, nobody knew what was going to happen, you know, because no one really does this. What would happen when a company like Walmart empowers real associates to create a beat, write their own lyrics, record a song, and put it out there for customers to view? No one knew what would happen. So it was very interesting. And when we put it out, customers loved the online grocery rap. It was one of our top performing organic posts that we created all year. And it was just a really cool thing. Some of the biggest takeaways that we had from it were the comments from customers saying, like, wow, these are real Walmart associates. That's amazing. Or even comments like, I never would have thought the person who rings up my groceries is also an amazing rapper. This changes my perspective about Walmart associates. And that was the best thing that we took away from it. So it was unique. It was interesting. It was a little bit of a risk to take this action, but it honestly started in the stores with Live Oak creating their video, Russell and myself just talking about how to scale it, and then our associates being so talented that they could create something so good.
So I've got a couple points on there. One, I love the fact you said it really humanized people. That's a really good takeaway for me. I also like how you said legit recording studio.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like going to the back office, like the stock room in Walmart with a computer and a microphone or something. So I like that you sprung for legit there, which is always nice.
Yeah.
Looking at the success from this, has this launched additional planning for, hey, we should do things like this on a yearly basis, semi-annual basis? or other things that you can do to actually incorporate associates into other forms of social content. Can you speak to that a little bit? What you guys have learned from that, that you're going to apply moving forward?
Yeah. At a high level, what we've learned from the online grocery wrap and even from the local social overall, it's that people want to see other people. When you think of a Walmart associate on a local social page or in an online grocery wrap, it's not that you're just seeing another Walmart commercial. You're seeing your friends, your family members, your neighbors performing this great content, creating this great content, and being the face of Walmart. It personalizes and localizes that big Walmart experience back down to you and I, and it allows you to see yourself in the video. It's almost, the way I see it, it's almost like people having another avenue to live out their dreams, bring their full self to work, be who they really are. And if they're a creative person, they can go to Walmart, get a job, and yes, they can stock shelves, they can ring up groceries. And I think all those things are extremely important to the human experience. You have to eat food, you have to be able to buy the things you need. But at another level, you can then turn around from ringing up groceries and go create a fun video that you post to Facebook, or you could get a shot at being a next rap sensation or singer as a Walmart associate because Walmart believes in its people. So those are the biggest takeaways we have, that our people in Walmart are amazingly talented. They're real. They're the friends, family, and neighbors of our customers. And our customers can't get enough of seeing that spotlight put on the people that they know and interact with on a daily basis. So yes, we want to do more. Our goal is to unleash the creative potential of our associates in the field and expand it as large as we can. Maybe that's more rap challenges. Maybe that's a who's the best rock band out there. Who's the best? We've already got singers, and we did one called Sparkapella with some great singers. We're doing one with artists. People, maybe you're a great painter or drawer or graphic designer, and you work at Walmart and want to do something special with that. So it's basically any talent or passion you have, bring it to Walmart and live out your dream at Walmart with your talent. Hopefully that made sense.
It does. And I think the cool thing about that is you can almost, like, you're talking and I'm envisioning you in that role. You were active on social. You believed it was the way of the future, at least for retailers and things like that. You saw the opportunity there. And you're talking, the whole time I'm thinking about you when you're talking about graphic designers or artists or something else that someone has passion about that can be a value asset to the corporation as a whole, right? So good graphic designers, good marketers, good whatever. The organization has needs for those. So it's not only a way to, say, become a rapper or do something else, but to show the company that, hey, there's hidden talent within the organization as well. So I was immediately thinking of you in this because it's almost like it came full circle and you're providing other people an opportunity to do exactly what you did in some respects. I think that's neat. Feel free to take this one if you want. Zach, the mime rap challenge, so they can tell a story by miming.
Yes.
That's all you, man. No credit needed.
Yeah, sounds fun. I mean, you will see, and I will say this, you'll see in January a dance challenge. I'm sure there are great dancers out there that are working in our Walmart stores, and I can't wait to see. It's going to be pretty cool because the hope is that the rap group will perform a song that associates in the stores can dance to so we can uncover some really great dancing talent.
Absolutely. That's going to be cool. So we'll definitely everyone take it. When is that coming out, you said?
January is what we are aiming for right now. So yeah, it should be the very beginning of this year.
Very cool. Were there any major pitfalls that either you didn't see coming or that you planned for that, say, another retailer listening to this says, okay, we want to do something similar, whether a bigger company or just smaller company, that we should kind of watch out for or at least have a contingency plan in place for? Are there any that jump off the page to you that you could pass off to other retailers?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. The first one, honestly, that's been a huge surprise was the success of these things. We didn't plan when we initially started doing things like OGP Wrap and pushing into the local social. We never imagined that they would grow as fast as they did. So it was a pitfall for us that we didn't anticipate how big of an audience there was for this. And so we had to do some things really quick and scrappy that we probably would have done better had we thought, like, this could be extremely successful. The other parts of it that or downfalls. Sometimes we have put out challenges that just don't do well. And it's also being ready for that, that you'll have some that are extremely successful. But then on the other hand, you might put out a challenge or a call to action where you get nobody. Just for example, we asked for associates to create 15-second ads for Walmart. Honestly, no one really participated, and we didn't know what to do because we had actually kind of made some space to use some of these ads, and then they didn't come through. So having that backup plan, because when it's voluntary, you don't know what you're going to get. It could be great content. It could be terrible content. It could be a ton of content. It could be zero content. So you have to make it voluntary. I think that's really important. But knowing that it's voluntary, you have to also be ready for both a huge influx and absolutely zero at the same time. The last thing I would say is this. We learned that we have to provide examples for our associates. If you just say, go make a rap video, we found that that actually doesn't get you any result and no one ends up creating a rap video. What we had to do was show a rap video example and say, we'd love to see you create your own rap video. Here's an example. People are just set. It's just a mindset type of thing. It's easier to follow than it is to completely do something on your own. And you want to be successful and you want to deliver a great product. So when you don't give enough guidance or don't give a visual example, people just aren't sure what to do. So that was another learning that took us a while to understand. Even to the extent that if you want people to get on social, create content, you yourself or your leaders in the company have to set the example. Your leadership has to be on social. They have to celebrate it. And you as a individual stakeholder have to get out there on social and show that you're involved in the world. Because if you can't ask people to do something that you yourself aren't willing to do. And I think that's just a value that you have to live out. And that's been helpful to us.
The template piece of advice, I think, is a good one for people to take away when you're just kind of left with this huge universe to say, okay, do something, right? Then I got the universe to choose from. There's a lot of creative inspiration that has to go into there. I could see someone coming back, and obviously Walmart, you guys want to make this family friendly too, right? So I could see like someone coming back with like a California Love remake video or something based on online food pickup or something. So I think that's a really good takeaway, but you guys do that for a Facebook post too, right? Not just the videos, but you provide content and framework for content for people or for store managers as well. So I think it's something that carries through. So really nice choice for examples. So Zach, you mentioned you're 18 months in roughly in that particular role here. What would you say your number one or two top takeaways or things you have learned throughout the process have been?
That's a great question. The number one takeaway that I've had is that when I came from the stores, there were a lot of people, and I really believe that a lot of this ties back to my experience in the store, because I would walk around as a store manager and I would meet people that were stocking the shelves in my store who would be great artists, or they would sing, or they would dance, or they would play a sport. And it really surprised me this year that when we put these calls to action out there, just how many associates are so amazingly talented. I expected, like with the rap, for example, I was like, we'll probably get back 4 or 5 submissions and hopefully they're okay. But we got back like over 50, and that was pretty surprising to me for, again, it was a pretty quick thing that we did. I think we turned that around in like 5 days. So you had to see the post, you had to write the rap, you had to record your video and get it all in within 5 days. 50 is a pretty good number to me. The other thing that has been a huge surprise to me this year is honestly that more companies aren't already doing this. Influencer marketing is like, if you go talk to a company about influencer marketing, they're like, oh yeah, it's a no-brainer. I'm working with influencers and paying them to talk about my content. But your best influencers and the people who know your business the best and really have a innate desire to talk about your brand are the people who already work for you. They just need to be given a platform and they need to be told that their voice matters and that you want them to advocate for you. We did have a learning that it's like 46% of Walmart associates have a desire to be a brand ambassador for the company. That's huge. When you start thinking about over 1 million associates and 46% of them want to be social advocates for the brand, I bet a lot of companies could say that And a lot of companies have people who want to talk about their business, their brand. They're just afraid, the associates, the employees are just afraid to. They haven't been given the platform. They think their voice doesn't matter. And I love that Walmart has looked at this and said, our people do matter. Their voice is important. They are creative and they do deserve a platform to speak up for us if they desire. We're not going to force them to, but if they desire, the option's there.
I completely agree with you. I used to talk to retailers all the time. You hear it all the time when you go to conferences or whatever. Retailers are always looking for, hey, how do we get our customer to become an advocate for us, right? It's not about loyalty. It's about becoming an advocate. And to your point, you're absolutely right. Your employees should be your number one advocate because they work for you. There's usually some innate connection there and they have belief and faith in the company. So I agree with you. I find this surprising more companies don't do that. Let's take it from an employee perspective, and this is precisely to you and your shoes, but if an employee or an associate wants to become or begin like their personal branding journey, if you will, what advice would you pass off to them?
Honestly, I would say if you have the desire to be an advocate, go do it. Yeah, a lot of people I've talked to have been like, you know, what if I post this and somebody gets mad? That's fine to think about, but what if you create that post and somebody loves it? What if you create that post and it changes everything for your company or for the morale in your store or for your business? What if somebody looks at that post and it becomes the best created post for that brand ever created? It's very easy to look at the negative side of it and be afraid that you could do something that wouldn't be good or that somebody wouldn't like. I would take some common sense measures of create something that feels like it's native to your brand or to your company. Talk about the values and stay within the values. If you're a company like Walmart, I wouldn't go out there and create a rap song with a whole bunch of cuss words talking bad about people because it doesn't fit the brand and it doesn't make sense. There might be brands that makes sense for that. That's okay. But as long as you understand the values of your company, create content that speaks to that and be real and be authentic. Because that's the other thing we found is you can see right through somebody who's paid to do something. You can see through somebody who is being forced to talk about something. But the person that gets out there and creates content because they just love it. And they just love their company. They love the job that they're doing. And they get out there and talk in a real authentic way about it. It performs well. It resonates well. And I don't think that I would honestly be really surprised to find any leader in a company that if you made a video, just even an example of a 30-second video where you got on and said, you know what, I really enjoy my job at this company. I love the way that I've had this experience. I love how they're serving customers in this way. Who's going to hate on that? And what's going to be wrong with it? So I would say try it. Don't get bogged down in the negative, the potential of the negatives. Be smart. Take a risk. And find a way to make it pay off. If you don't, someone else will, or your company will just lose out on the opportunity to gain the value that you could provide to them. So,
makes a lot of sense. Great piece of advice. And if they do can, they can reach out to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The only other thing I might add, and if you have a way to add this in, is if I guess the other thing I would say is this, if you want to be an advocate for your brand and you're afraid of potential negative repercussions, if you're afraid of using your voice to talk positively about your brand or your company, the blunt truth is you might be at the wrong company. We're in an era where your voice matters and every single human being has a voice with social media. If your company is trying to quiet you down or telling you not to speak up, honestly, you might need to go find a company who believes in you and values your perspective and voice.
You might be right on that. That's a fair piece of advice, especially in today's age. Like you mentioned, we're in this age of individualism, right? And every voice matters. Zach, did I neglect to ask you anything you feel is crucial or important for the listeners to know today?
The one other thing I would like to add is this. The way that technology is moving so fast, and we live in an era of automation and machine learning, and more jobs of the mundane types of jobs are going to machines and robots. I think that what we're trying to do here with associate advocacy, it's rethinking what it means to be an employee or to be an associate. no longer will you have to go in and only stock shelves or only ring up items or do whatever, you know, just do Excel sheets, because there might be machines that take over those jobs. But the one thing that machines will never be able to do is they can't tell an authentic human creative story. So this is really just building the future generation or the future worker in retail. You may go in as an everyday associate and you're not ringing up people anymore. You're creating videos and content and communicating with people in a different way on a more human level. So that's the other great thing about this concept, is it's rethinking what it means to be a retail associate specifically, but for any company, it rethinks what it means to be a human being contributing to the company or to the brand.
Don't fear the machine, beat the machine. Very good. I like it. And you know what? Kind of boil everything down as well. It's the one thing that I think retailers, doesn't matter how big or small the company is, it could be a mom and pop shop on the corner. This is a place where retailers or companies are scared to make employees the face of the brand. That employee is already the face of your brand, right? If I walk into mom and pop shop down the street and that employee treats me rudely and gives me a terrible experience, that is a reflection of the brand, right? I'm not going to hold the employee responsible. I'm holding the brand responsible. So this is just a way to bring that excitement and bring that passion out of the employees and use it for a positive good. And I think if retailers think about that perspective of saying they're already the face of my brand, they'll be a leg up. So kudos to you guys for recognizing that and putting a program in place and empowering your associates and employees. So that's kudos to you guys. Zach, I'm going to get you out of here. I got a couple quick questions for you before I let you go here. So question one, what's the one piece of advice you'd give to your younger self?
I would tell my younger self to be patient. Work as hard as you can and push to make things happen fast, but also be patient because things take longer than you expect.
That's a good piece of advice, especially in today's era where everything is so fast-paced and people expect things quickly. So excellent. This might be a sore subject, and you can plead the fifth on this if you want. Are you a Prime member?
I am not personally. Honestly, I'd have to say my wife is, but I'm not.
Okay. I ask everyone. That's not just for you.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. Are you a inbox zero type of person?
I used to be, but I've learned with this patience thing that it's okay to have a couple of unread emails or messages, because what's happening in front of my face or where I'm at is more important than what's going on the phone.
Very good. Do you say niche or niche?
Niche.
All right. This thing might be important for you today. You said it's 20 degrees where you are. Is wind chill and heat index for you a thing, or are those the actual temperature? So if your wind chill is 10, do you count the temperature as 10?
I've never even thought about the difference. I just say, hey Siri, what's the temperature today?
All right. So if she said it's 20 degrees, but it's going to feel like 10, what are you dressing for? Probably dressing the same, but what are you recognizing it to be?
I'm saying it's 20 degrees.
Okay. What's your favorite restaurant out in the Bentonville area?
I really like Table Mesa out here on the square. It's great. You got to check it out if you ever come this way.
Awesome. Do you drink coffee? And if so, how do you take it?
I do not drink coffee, but I will always have a hot chocolate if you offer it.
Very good. Do you drink tea?
I do not.
Okay.
I try my best to only drink water, and sometimes I'll have an energy drink.
Very good. Marshmallows in the hot chocolate or no?
It depends if I'm on the go or not. If I'm at home, marshmallows are good. If I'm on the go, no.
Okay. And whipped cream?
No, I usually pass on it.
Yeah, I do too. Interesting. Okay. Two more for you. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Any reason why?
It just doesn't feel like a sandwich.
Very good. And final one for you, is brunch overrated?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. I knew I liked you. Zach, any questions for me today?
I don't think so. I guess the only question I would have for you, it would be, why did you start this podcast?
That's a really good question. I think in some respects, it was probably this deep-rooted subconscious thing for me. I went to school for radio broadcasting. That was marketing was my fallback career, if you will. And so I've always had this passion for kind of radio type stuff. And then quickly after graduating college, I decided I did not want to do that for the rest of my life because I wanted to make money. So I went into marketing, which for a long time, I did not make any money there either. So But we were looking at different forms of content. I said, well, what about doing a podcast? They seem to be big now. And they said, all right, put a plan together. And I said, okay. And I put a plan together. And that was, they're like, all right, run with it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So in some respects, I always think there was some subconscious thing to this whole thing. But it was just another form of content. And it's 2.5 years now. It's been going pretty well for us.
Good. You know, it's your human creative talent coming out that just can't be silenced, right?
That's right. How good I am and how good that talent is up for debate as well. But heck, I'm doing it. So
if you're doing it, you're doing it great. Because a lot of people just would never even try.
That's right. And days like today, right, where I'm having trouble getting words out and my voice is all hoarse, right? They're what you live for, as they say.
Yeah.
Zach, we will have contact info, whatever you want to provide in the episode description. But verbally, if someone wants to reach out to either you, Walmart, anything at all, what's the best set of contact info you'd like to provide for people?
Honestly, the best place to get a hold of me is LinkedIn. Just find me on there, Zachary Lonis. Send me a direct message on there, and I respond to those pretty often. Or Instagram. @ZacharyP. Lonis on Instagram. If you send me a DM there, I respond to those regularly. Email for me is really tough because I get so many of them. And I don't usually, if you've got my phone number to send me a text, then do that. but those would be the best. And once reach out to me and I can probably help you figure out who you want to talk to at Walmart if there's something on that side.
Very good. I won't post your phone number unless you want me to. So you can keep that private. Zach Lonis, everyone, Director of Social Media Marketing at Walmart. Thanks for your time, Zach. To those listening, especially our listener of the week, Jace from Houston. If you want to be the listener of the week, let me know you've tuned in. And if you're interested in telling your e-commerce story, I'd love to hear from you as well. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Until next time, have a great day and be kind to one another.